Let's pray for Pastor Shannon this morning. Could we all reach out a hand to her, please? Father, we bring our sister to us. We pray this morning that literally that the breath of the Holy Spirit would speak through Shannon to us. Through to us, Lord. And we pray for a double anointing on her this morning as she brings us your message. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Well, during a sermon on Jesus' teachings that we should love our enemies, the pastor asked the congregation to raise their hands if they had enemies. Everyone did except for Mrs. Watson, who was sitting in the front row and who just celebrated her 95th birthday. Mrs. Watson, said the pastor, how can you have lived for 95 years and not have one enemy? That's easy, she replied. I just outlived them. You know what? That's one of the things as we see what's happening in the world, is we were given a directive by Jesus to love our enemies. And that's when we need Holy Spirit to help us and remind us of who we are now and who he is still, and what can be done through us when we love. Well, I titled my message this morning, let's see if I can make it happen here, The Power of His Breath. And Krista, I'm just going to say, a lot of what you sang this morning was, so when the Lord had you, and when I was listening to it, as you were rehearsing, I thought, wow, the Holy Spirit's been speaking to Krista and has lined everything up. So there you go. Yeah. Why? And taught you a lesson. Don't be stressed. I got this handled. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So this morning, I'm going to share with you this scripture. I have it written here, and I didn't bother typing it all up because you're going to look it up yourselves. For those of you who do such a thing, it's from John 8, verses 5 to 15, and I'm reading from the Amplified Version. And this is Jesus, he's talking with his disciples, he's just told them, again, that his time has come. He says, but now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going? Because I have said these things to you. Sorrow has filled your hearts, taken complete possession of them. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I go away, the Paracletos, the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, standby, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you to be in close fellowship with you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world about the guilt of sin and the need for a savior, and about righteousness and about judgment, about sin and the truth of its nature, because they do not believe me and my message about righteousness, personal integrity, and godly character, because I'm going to the Father and you will no longer see me. About judgment and the certainty of it, because the ruler of this world, Satan, has been judged and condemned. I have more things to say to you, but you cannot bear to hear them now. But when he, the Holy Spirit, or the truth, pardon me, let me read it correctly, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, full and complete truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but he will speak whatever he hears from the Father, the message regarding the Son. And he will disclose to you what is to come in the future. He will glorify and honor me because he, the Holy Spirit, will take from what is mine and will disclose it to you. All things the Father has are mine. Because of this, I say that he, the Spirit, will take from what is mine and will reveal it to you. Jesus has shared a lot about the Holy Spirit in that brief little, well, it's not brief in the Amplified, but but there's so much there. That he's the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the one who stands by. But he's not going to come to us. Sorry, I got to remember not to smack my side. He will not come, he said, unless I go to the Father and I send him. It is to our advantage that he went away. Now let's think about that finished work of Jesus. Did that wake you up, Eddie? Okay, I was just startled to give you everybody a little adrenaline rush. I just kept hearing the giggling. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. We have an advantage because of what he did. Now, we have to remember there was a finishing of his work that he came to do. And we know that he went to the cross. He became the sacrificial lamb for us, that he shed his blood and nothing but the blood of Jesus, right? What can wash me white as snow? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And that blood, what he shed, has cleansed us, made us pure, holy, righteous. We have become new creations because of what he's done. And the Holy Spirit that used to come upon man and was with man has changed his location. In these new creations, he dwells in us. 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? I want to take us back a couple of Sundays when I last spoke, and remind you of Genesis 1:1-2. Oops, you know what I forgot to do here? I forgot to do something. Put this scripture up here for you. Maybe. There we go. Oops, there. Amplified version. But I'm talking about Genesis 1:1-2. The Spirit of God. The Hebrew word, do you remember the Hebrew word? How many of you remember it? You know what? I have to remember. I'm going to just interrupt for just a sec. I put it on white on my computer and black showed up better. But obviously, if I'd done the lettering in white, you would be able to read it better. So I apologize for that. Some things just don't translate the way you think they would. The name was, will you pronounce it? Rah. You have to put a ch, like you're coughing up a loogie at the end of it. And when we looked at it, that is in reference to the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit hovered like a wind. That's one of the translations for that word, Hebrew word. And when we looked at it, that means breath, mind, spirit, energy, life, the manifestation of the Shekinah glory of God. It endows men with various gifts, impelling the prophet to utter instruction or warning. And again, the manifestation, I've got it there twice, of the Shekinah glory of God. The energy, life-giving energy of Holy Spirit as God breathed out the words, let there be his breath. If we don't add the breath to our motion in our mouths, nothing gets said, right? But it's the breath behind it, and the breath of God speaks out and created. Let there be, and the Holy Spirit upon that the word, the breath of God upon that word, creates. The Holy Spirit hovering over the darkness, the chaos, the depth of darkness, created life. And God's breath moved upon it all, bringing life. The other thing about wind is it's invisible. Until you see a big, huge tree branch on the ground. And we know that the wind is powerful. And as we're sitting underneath these fans, how many of us can feel the gentle breeze touching our skin? We can feel it. We can see it. Sometimes it carries fragrances with it. And we experience the rah wind. Then we also can say, when we understand this, it is the breath. I want you to do something for just a minute. I want you to hold your breath for as long as you can, or until I can't and I start talking. If I pass out, put somebody come and revive me. Okay, let's do this. Ready? When we were holding our breath, for eventually it becomes uncomfortable, right? We don't have breath. Those who suffer from lung issues and that know what it's like not to be able to catch their breath. But when we take that breath in, we feel it. When you've taken a moment to recognize something you just do naturally without thinking about it, till you can't. And that's how close the breath of God, the life of God is in. It brings life. It brings something to our bodies, the actual breathing in of air. But Holy Spirit is the breath of God, the personal presence of God in us, bringing life, stirring us with life. Every time you take in a breath, you can remember Holy Spirit is that close. Close as the breath of God. In Genesis 2, verse 7, it says, "Then God formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the ruach, the life, and man became a living being." God's personal presence in Adam and then Eve and then mankind, energizing life. And again, we can see through both the example of wind and of breath, the power and life-giving force of God through his Holy Spirit. Now, let's think about the moment God creates in the beginning, man. We know the story. God said, to Jesus, he said they agreed, God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, let's create man in our image. And then there was breath blown into the lungs of Adam, and he became a living being. We know Eve was taken from his side, and she breathed the same living life breath of God in her, and they were told together, have dominion over the earth. So God created him in his image. He breathed life into them and gave them a dominion, authority over the earth. And he gave them a purpose. He said, multiply life. Go forth and multiply. Multiply life is your purpose, to come alongside and to have dominion over the earth and multiply life. And then came the fall, and we end up back in the place of the darkness, the death, the chaos that came in with the enemy's lies, the twisted lies. The dominion that was still man's, God never took it back when they fell, but the enemy knew something. He knew their words. If he could get to him to speak his words with that breath of God, he would have the authority through them. Evil was unleashed back into the earth. And instead of multiplying life, what started happening is the multiplication of death. The loss of true purpose came. And we just kind of, the world is just walking in circles trying to do what it wants, what it thinks it wants to do, thinking it's walking in truth and purpose, but it's not. It's walking in the darkness of the enemy, walking in circles. So we know that at the fall, the death came and the chaos came back into the world. But God had a redemptive plan. And we're sitting here today because God had a redemptive plan. A Are you glad he did? And that redemptive plan was spoken of all through the Old Testament. As we get to the New Testament, we get to the good news of Jesus. And we know that he was born as a baby. He grew up like we did. He experienced what we did. And as the Father, as he grew into a man, the Father called him into the ministry he came for. At his baptism, he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we know that he came to bring and reveal the Father. He came to reveal the kingdom. He came to reveal new creation and better, and the better that was coming. He said to us before he left, he says, the things you've seen me do, you will do, and even greater. And even greater things. I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. The Holy Spirit will not come until he is. And then the Holy Spirit comes, and he will dwell in you. God's personal presence, God's life-giving presence dwells in us. But you know what? I'm going to just challenge you, believers. How many of us recognize that daily? And I'm challenging you. If maybe you got a little watch that has a little timer on it that you can set to go off once or twice a day, and every time you feel it ring or buzz, take that moment to stop. Christ in me, Holy Spirit in me, life-giving presence of God in me. Because sometimes we can take that kind of thing and just take it for granted. We've heard it. Those of us who've been in church for many, many years, just kind of, it's become the norm. It's like going to Rome and seeing all the buildings, and you're walking around and going, wow. But the locals are going, what? It's so familiar to them, right? They just forget to stop and look. And sometimes that's what happens with us. We forget to stop and recognize. And sometimes we need to do it more often because of what the situation is that we're finding ourselves in. Wait a minute, no. Christ in me, the Holy Spirit in me. The kingdom will be within you, Jesus said. I'm going so that he can come. And he paid that price. He sacrificed himself to bring Holy Spirit to us so that we can receive not only salvation and all that happened, but Holy Spirit. So, you know, sometimes I thank God I'm saved, but thank God I have Holy Spirit with me and in me, empowering me. I'm going to maybe take us to the next one here. I'll go move it on. Oops. Jesus' sacrifice and the blood that was shed. How many of you have ever heard people plead the blood of Jesus? We get to do that. The name we sang this morning, I speak the name of Jesus over my family, over the people who are stuck in depression and anxiety and fears and illnesses and sickness. I can plead the blood, the finished work. I speak his name, which talks about the finished work and his blood. I speak, I give breath to what God has said and done. That blood has cleansed you and me. Okay, let's just stop there. Has there anybody who's ever done anything you could say sinful or wrong or against what the Word of God has said? Am I the only one? But look what Jesus has done. He's cleansed you from it. I don't care how wicked, bad, evil, awful, or whatever you think it is. His finished work has cleansed you from that and made you pure. I don't have to think on that anymore. It's taken care of by him. And my heart is to move into never be doing that again. But if I slip and fall, it says, when a righteous man falls, he gets back up again. I've been made pure. Have you been made pure? Amen. What did you do to make yourself pure? No, it's him. You can't touch it. You can't mess it up. He's made us holy. And again, I know you know all this thing, but we're, you know what? Even Paul said, it's good for me to tell you this again. It's good for you to hear it again and again and again. Didn't mean to beat you up. It's good for us to remind ourselves and remind each other. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Did we not just talk about being in him? We are righteous. We're a new creation. It is good for us to keep reminding ourselves of this, because I'll tell you what, well, we're going to get to it. Let's get to it. How about that? I won't get ahead of myself. So now that we're cleansed and, come on, there we go. We now are a temple ready for Holy Spirit because of what Jesus has done. Holy Spirit is in you. He's not just beside you. He is in you. God's personal presence is living in you. His life-giving presence, his power, Holy Spirit, the dunamis power of God, is in us. Are we taking it for granted? Are we recognizing what the Lord has done for us daily? Here's a wonderful one, adoption. Holy Spirit reminds us that he's Abba, that we have been adopted. We have sonship in Jesus. I'm going to go next to the next one for just a sec. Now, I didn't think I could get everybody's name on there, and I didn't know everybody's name. But here's the thing. The certificate of adoption has been signed, sealed, and stamped by the blood of Jesus with his name. You are a son of the Most High God. We'll go back for a minute. You're also royalty. Is Jesus the king? Are you related to him? You're royalty. All right. And what does that mean? You have the authority. That's right. What about a priesthood? Does the priesthood have the right to pray and intercede on behalf of others? So you're adopted, you're a son, you're a royalty, you're a priest. Do you have some authority? Are you living like it? Because sometimes we forget. We forget the authority that we have. And what did you do to get it? Nothing. Just accepting it, that's right. Moving on to the next one. Jesus has given you the Holy Spirit, the authority. He seated you above in the authority. Again, I know this is all familiar to you. You are over the devil. We said that in our decree. We are the head, not the tail. We are above, not beneath. We're over the devil. We're over temptation. Doesn't mean temptation won't come. But you are over it. We're going to talk about that in just a second. He's given you authority over scorpions and snakes or evil. And by his word, his breath, his Holy Spirit. Let me just take us here. As a new believer, you were full of the Holy Spirit. Right? Holy Spirit moves on God's word in power and to manifest it through us. Holy Spirit brings new life creation. When the Spirit moved on the word of God, God said, "Let there be," and creation came. When we speak out the word of God, Holy Spirit moves on it to manifest it here on the earth. But there is a qualifier. They have to be words of faith. It's not magic conjuring or whatever. It's words of faith that says, this is what my God has said. And this is what happens. We, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, are new life bringers. I want to ask you, are the words you're speaking bringing life or bringing death? And I am as guilty of this as anybody else. How many times have I had a ache or pain or misery, when I can't wait to tell you all about it. I had the bruises because I had, you know, they were trying to do intravenous thing, and, but oh, I was just, couldn't wait to show off my, I'm thanking God because I start praying over and say, wait a minute, heal up. I have the healing. You know what? How many of us can't wait to bring the bad news? Oh, well, we need to pray for this because, oh, how bad it is. And we spend more time talking about how bad the things are and the terrible situations as opposed to saying, this is happening. We need to pray the words of God into the situation. So I ask you this. Sometimes are we more anxious to gossip? I'm going to call it gossip. The negative stuff the enemy is doing in the world than speak the life-giving power of God into creation. Ouch. Let's go to the scripture here. Jesus said, I'm going to start, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. He's quoting here Deuteronomy. You know what? I thought there was this, I had this here. Just let me see if it's, no, okay. Sorry, I'll put that back up. One scripture I wanted to read from John 6:63. I thought I had a slide for it. The spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. This is Jesus speaking. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the spirit. And in the footnotes it says, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, the neo, the breath, the blow of the wind. His words that he spoke to them are full of the spirit. Same as Ruach. They're full of life. So why do we want to speak words that are full of death? Jesus is out in the wilderness after he's been baptized. He's been led by the Holy Spirit out into the wilderness. And what happens? Oops, I got my pages all out of order here. And what happens when the devil comes to tempt him? What does Jesus' response? It is written. It is written. He speaks the word of God. He starts with, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And in that part of Deuteronomy, he's talking to the children of Israel that have wandered in the desert 40 years, and hopefully they've learned something. That man doesn't live by bread alone, doesn't live by manna from, but the manna that comes from heaven, the word of God that comes from heaven. So they ate the manna and they died, but the word of God lives on forever. Full of life, Jesus just quoted to us, full of life, full of the spirit of God are the words of God. When Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord, who is he speaking to at that point? Who is Jesus when he quotes that? He's out in the desert or wilderness, and he quotes that to who? Satan, the devil. What's the devil trying to do? What's Satan trying to do? Tempt him, trip him up. He's twisting the words. But God says, resist the enemy and he will flee. Resist the devil, he'll flee. Jesus, with the breath of God, words full of spirit and life, full of power, uses the word of God as his defense and causes the enemy to flee. It says he left for a more opportune time. Jesus didn't get into it with the devil. He didn't bring his opinion or his personal reasoning into it. He spoke God's word. It is written. Not, well, you see, this is what I think. Listen to me here, devil. And sometimes we want to get into an argument with the devil. We want to tout our reasoning, our opinions of it. And that's exactly where he wants you. Jesus didn't participate in that. He got a hold of the word of God and said, it is written, and spoke God's word. You see, we have a great defense in the Word of God. When the enemy comes to twist and turn, when the world comes who is influenced by the enemy, we can say, it is written. We have a great defense. You know, last week I was listening to a woman share her testimony on TV, and she was talking about, she was a believer, but it was through Andrew Womack. He was giving a testimony. I can't remember the name of the lady. But she was just sharing her testimony. And she came down with something where she was in such pain and her back was bothering her so bad. And so finally the doctor says, well, here's what we're going to do. We think you should go in for an operation on your back. Of course, it didn't go as what they had planned. In fact, what happened was is it was a screw up altogether. And she had to go back in for another operation through another surgeon who came back out and said, well, we repaired the damage as best we could, but there is everlasting damage you're just going to have to live with. So for the next, I think it was 8 years, she lived with pain constantly throughout her body. She was taking drugs, all that kind of stuff. And they had moved her bed downstairs into the main floor because she couldn't do stairs anymore, and she had to quit her job and all that kind of stuff. And of course and she's a believer. And she said, she was just in pain. How many of us know what that's like? When you're in pain, it's hard to think about much else. Here's what happened, though, and I thought this was, oh, Lord, you're so good. She's laying in bed one day and has, like Jim said, has settled. Kind of this is what it's going to be like, and she hears the Lord say to her, we're not going to keep living like this. And what she pointed out in the statement I heard in that was, we are not going to keep living like this. And she says, all of a sudden what came to her is Jesus lives in me. He doesn't want to live like that either. We are not going to keep living like this. Jesus is in you. He is with you. His breath is breathing out of you, I put it that way. His life spirit is in you. And do you want Jesus to be living the way we're living? And we say, well, I can't do anything about it, but we can just recognize something. He lives in me. And the same spirit that raised him from the dead is in me. Healing is ours. It is written, by his stripes I am healed. And whether it's an instantaneous healing or as we go along, day by day, trusting in the finished work, by his stripes I am healed. By his stripes I am healed. By his spirit who lives in me, day by day, I'm getting stronger. I'm getting healthier. Because he lives together and we don't want to keep living this way. The other wonderful thing is about this is we also have an offensive authority. Now, I don't mean offensive as in, oh, that smells and it's offensive. But just as in football and hockey, you have a defensive team and you have an offensive team to make progression. The defense protects, the offensive progresses. We have an offensive authority. And here's where we need to walk in the Spirit all the time and speak kingdom, because kingdom words are life-giving words. They're not cursing people. They're not cursing our politicians or our political parties. They're not cursing sinners. They're not cursing that which is more sinful than we can deal with. It's speaking life over them. The Lord tells us, pray for our enemies. How many of us would rather call them dumb, stupid, what the heck? That's not what he said for us to do. You see, when we start speaking that way about anything, are we speaking kingdom or are we speaking enemy? we're speaking enemy. Proverbs 18:21 says, the power of life and death is in the tongue. You will eat the fruit of it. If you keep speaking death over things you don't like, you aren't speaking anything but fruit you're going to keep getting. But if you speak life over it, if you speak the words of God over it, if we pray for our governments and our neighbors and all of the sinful community things that happen throughout the world, if we start speaking life to them because we have Holy Spirit in us, the truth of God speaking that forth, what do you think is going to happen over the chaos in the world? What happened in the beginning when Holy Spirit moved? Life came. How many of you pray life over your families and those that have walked away from the Lord or aren't even serving the Lord? We are happy to pray life over them. Or do we say, well, you know, I know them. They're never going to trust Jesus. I know them. What are you speaking? Death. You're in agreement with the enemy. What was that? Flesh over spirit. That's right. But if we believe God is God Almighty, that he has given us authority in the earth, that Jesus says, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit because it's to your advantage. He tells them to wait. He tells his disciples, wait in Jerusalem till the Holy Spirit comes on you so that you can go out in power. Because we have his presence, the presence of God, Holy Spirit, dwelling in us. Yeah, I know you guys know all of this, but I'm speaking to you again because hopefully today it's going to energize you and remind you who you are, who we are. Hello, sons of the Most High God, adopted. You've been given the name of the Father. You're priests. You're princes and princesses. You have authority. You're above, not beneath. You are the head, not the tail. You don't have to listen to the enemy. That's my watch buzzing me, telling me my time is up. I'm just about there. You see, I'm going to just challenge you again. When we stand up and speak those decrees, God's decreed it. I've taken those from the Word of God, and we are declaring it. We're speaking it into the earth. We get to do that. Jesus said, when you pray the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, there's our Father, there's our adoption, who art in heaven above, not beneath, hallowed is your name, great, powerful, mighty, awesome God, forgiving, loving, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then we just stand back and wait for it to happen. No, he has given us dominion to take into the earth his life-giving words. We have the power, the presence of Holy Spirit in us to speak in a powerful manner. When we speak, let us believe. Or who's believing for family members to get saved? When you pray and speak over them, declare it into the earth. As for me and my household, they shall be saved. In fact, let me take you. I have a couple. I'm not going to read them all. This is a declaration for healing and a declaration of family. Listen to this. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Because I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I shall be saved in my entire household. Because I am a covenant child of God, my household is blessed. And we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Blessings come upon us and overtake us. And I said there's a whole page of them with scriptures to verify it. How about healing? I praise the Lord with all that is within me and do not forget all of his benefits. He forgives all my sin and heals me of all my diseases. He redeemed me from the pit, redeemed my life from the pit and crowned me with love and compassion. Jesus sent forth his word and healed me. He rescued me from the grave. I will cry out, the Lord hears me. when I cry out, the Lord hears me. He delivers me from all my troubles. The Lord is close to me when I am heartbroken and saves me when I am crushed in spirit. He has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. It is written. It's not Pastor Shannon's words, it's his words. It is written. Jesus said to the enemy who comes to oppress us, to lie, and to get us to speak his words, let's stop doing that. I want to challenge you this week. In fact, I'm going to be honest, as of Thursday, I'm leaving for holidays. I'm going to be gone for 3 Sundays, 2 weeks and a couple of days. But I'm going to challenge you to challenge yourselves and each other. Am I speaking what is written, or am I in agreement with what the enemy says? Am I wanting to have a conversation with the enemy to prove him wrong? Don't go there. Don't do it. Declare in faith what God has decreed. You have the power, the breath to speak into the earth. We have dominion over the earth. Let's not let the devil continue in chaos in the earth. It says where two or three are gathered in his name, he's there. How many of us were there when God created the earth? All of us or none of us were there, depending on how you want to look at it. All of us were there in him, but God did it without us. Now he says if the two or three of you are gathered and God's in us, it's what I'm saying, it's becoming exponential. It keeps multiplying. We have a purpose. We have been called to speak life, to multiply life. In our own lives, in our families' lives, and in our city, in our neighborhoods. And I challenge you, and some of us might get a little testy, but if you hear your brothers and sisters not speaking, it is written, but agreeing with the devil, challenge them. We aren't going to like it. But boy, are we going to grow if we stop and say, I'm not going to be offended. I'm going to sit and listen. What am I saying? What fruit do I want to be eating? The good stuff. Amen? Why don't you stand with me? Father, as we go from this place, we want to thank you again and again what you did through the finished work of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you indwell in us. You, the personal presence of God living with us, with the energizing life, the power. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, you're the one who brings back to remembrance all that Jesus said. That we can speak out, it is written, and defeat the enemy. Because he is a defeated foe. Again, Lord, we thank you because who Christ has set free is free indeed. And we are going to walk out in the freedom that Christ has brought us. In your precious name we pray, Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling us, and the mighty name of our Heavenly Father. Amen and amen.